After surgery, getting back on your feet isn't always easy. Milner Community Healthcare is here to support you throughout your recovery process. We offer the perfect environment for you to heal and get stronger. A speedy recovery and returning our patients home as quickly as possible are our primary goals. We're honored to be a quality-rated nursing facility and have served our community since 1971. Make the right choice for your recovery. Choose Milner Community Healthcare for short-term rehabilitation.
Want to make your yard the wow yard of the neighborhood? Then call Jeff Hardesty and let him create a landscape masterpiece for you. His crews are accredited or certified in the landscaping industry. Not just a bunch of guys with a truck and a shovel. Real landscapers, you know what I mean. For quality installation, innovative experience and design, it's always Hardesty Landscaping. Don't hire another landscaper until you talk to Jeff. Call him at 242-6015. That's 242-6015.
Life insurance is one of those subjects that make people want to change the subject, rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Susan Casper in Frankfort focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house insurance, or life without having to give up college insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on with your family. Call State Farm agent Susan Casper in Frankfort at 765-659-5678 and put the life back in life insurance.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one resource for information as you need it right at your fingertips. We have news, weather, sports, obituaries, the WILO program schedule, over 40,000 community photos, online surveys, community events, and WILO TV archives. Plus, click on the info tab to find out how you can contact your local and state representatives. Find out what the buzz is all about. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com.
Here's the WILO Skywatch weather forecast for all of north central Indiana,
including Rossville, Jefferson, and Kempton. Becoming partly cloudy today, we do have a chance of pop-up showers, a high of 92. Clear skies tonight, a low of 72. Tomorrow, a chance of showers, a high of 82, and clearing skies Saturday, a high of 68. That's your Skywatch weather forecast from WILO. Check out real-time weather radar 24/7 at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com.
This is Party Line on WILO AM and FM. Phone lines are open. Locally call 659-3338 or call toll-free in Kokomo and Lafayette at 1-800-447-4463. Now, let's rejoin Party Line on 1570 AM and 96.9 FM WILO.
Welcome back to Party Line. Our sponsors are Welty Custom Exteriors and Compass Credit Union, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, Sparrows Florist and Greenhouse, Milner Healthcare, Hardesty Landscaping, Ivy Tech Community College, Simple Time Antiques, and all ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Now being joined by our guest, who's Frankfort Police Chief Troy Bacon. Troy, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm all right. I guess you already had a prior stop here, didn't you, this morning?
Well, I saw the look in your eye when I came in the door. I was like, he thought I forgot. But I had an opportunity to talk to the Frankfort High School's criminal justice class today. That's taught by Major Jason Allball.
Right.
It's a really good class that kind of dabbles into what criminology is about, what local law enforcement, federal and crimes and courts and things like that. It's a whole gamut of things. And once a year, he brings his class into the police department. I get to speak to him.
Well, normally you're here, you're here bright and early, and I'm like, okay, what happened this time? Did he get stopped by a train? Get something else come up or what?
No, so I'm just, but you know me, and when I start talking, sometimes I can go forever. But he wanted me to tell my story, how I got into policing and law enforcement and so forth, and got into some other questions and crime statistics and things like that.
Okay, so it sounds like a good time though.
Yeah, and you know, I also talked about how difficult it is to become a police officer. And you know, you and I've talked about this. If you've got 80 applicants, half of those, you're going to lose half of them after the first day of testing from the written and physical, and then it starts breaking down, you know, after that. And by the end of the whole journey of the application process, you may end up with 2 to 4 people that are actually qualified to do the job out of 80. And it's that way by design. We want the best, the brightest, the smartest in our communities protecting us.
Yeah. Of course, you're at the same meeting I was at yesterday. You're part of CAST like I am.
Yes.
So, you know, what's your thoughts on CAST? I know you made a very interesting comment yesterday that I thought was just great.
Well, you'll have to refresh my memory what the comment was.
Well, basically what you thought the program was.
You know, I think it's a really good program. It really, and I wish more people would sign up because I think they would truly understand how good our school system really is and the dedicated people they have in our community or in mm-hmm. community schools of Frankfort. But the CAS program goes into different components of what goes on in our school system. We meet different people. Yesterday we met the school nurse at Blue Green and or one of the
Green Meadows.
The secretaries throughout the school system, and Dave Faust was there as well. But you know, if you really want to know what's going on in the community schools of Frankfort, I would sign up for CAS. I would try to stay away from social media and everything that way, because you don't always find the truth.
Yeah.
But sign up, and I know that Superintendent DeWeese would love to have you, and so would all of the people who are in it.
I got involved with it several years ago, and I've seen that was the second or third time I've seen the presentation from yesterday. But it's so good, you know, with the school nurse and with the secretary. The secretaries just go through an incredible amount of stuff to start the day.
Well, you know, I was trying to formulate a comment to the secretaries yesterday, but we ended that before I could get it. But you know, people, you know, whether you're at the Community Schools of Frankfort or sitting as my administrative assistant or secretary or calling upstairs in the detective division, they don't just answer phones. Really, they're the, I call Charity the brain of the organization. She knows what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
If there's, you know, billing issues, if I have questions, if people come in, she's really the face of the police department when people come in. And I would assume with good certainty that the secretaries at the Community Schools of Frankfort are the same way. Whenever a principal or administrator has a question, they go to them because they know.
Yep.
So they're much appreciated. They're always really helpful whenever we need them. So it was good to hear from them.
Yeah, I've always enjoyed that program, and I know I probably always will, because it, you know, and you said it and I've said it, is that people need to get out there and, you know, be a part of that.
Yeah.
So anyway, what's this? What I told you I was going to ask you, so I'll just get it out of the way early. What's the latest and greatest on the police station?
I thought we were going to play a game first. The game where you guess Ken Hartman's age. Did you have the music queued up for that yet?
No, I don't have it queued up, but we're not going to do that, at least
okay.
for a while.
All right, we'll move on. But the police department, you're blushing. The police department, the police department process is moving. It's moving on, moving forward. We had a meeting on Tuesday and discussed where we're at in the process. We have got some preliminary sketches designed for the flow of the department, how things are going to work as you walk in. The design itself is not 100% done, what it would potentially look like. We started with about six locations to begin with, and we whittled it down to just a couple. And I feel that both of them are very viable locations. So that's kind of where we're at right now. And really, we need to, as a building team and as a council, select a site. That's really what's, once we get that done, we can move forward and start the actual design process and construction documents and things like that.
Hope to get that site name next month.
I would like to see something within the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay.
I would think that would be pretty, that's a pretty good goal to try to get.
Well, that would be in October. I know next Monday is probably not going to be a good time to announce, considering what the main thing is.
No, it would be after that. There's a lot still to go, but that's my goal, because that's really what's slowing up the process. We need to pick a spot, and you know, people say, "Well, you're moving too slow." Actually, I think we're moving at a right pace. Because I think we're doing our due diligence for, you know, when you're talking taxpayer money, a location that a police department is going to be in for the next 50 to 70 years, who knows, we need to make sure it's the right location.
Have you had the response to people moving into that building once you vacate it that you wanted to have?
You know, that's part of the process that's going to pick up here in the next few months. That was part of the process that we asked them to do. Whatever our architectural firm that we chose was to look at what the building is right now, what it could be used for, and then we start kind of marketing it that way. So that'll pick up after we get a site, because we're not really going to move out for another year and a half, you know, best case scenario. So we do have some time to work on that.
Also, I know you guys have got a drug take back coming up here on the October the 6th or at the high school. That's the first time you've really done it at the high school, isn't it?
That I know of,
yeah,
and that's student driven. That's the students are organizing that. Sheriff and I are working in partnership on that, and Healthy Communities is involved as well. And so there'll be more information come out as we move forward. But I will say this, one of the things that I've been tasked with is try to get gift certificates from local business owners, free pizza, free French fries, free whatever. That way we can give people who have who bring their unused drugs in to kind of entice them a little bit. So if you're a local business owner and want to help contribute to that, please contact me. I'll be going out knocking on some doors here soon.
Okay, we got a caller here for you.
Sure.
Caller, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Ken and Mr. Bacon.
Morning.
Don't you think it should go to vote on the final four places of the police station instead of a small amount of people in Frankfort get to say so where it goes? Don't you think it ought to be on the ballot?
I don't think so. I think that's why you elect your city officials to make those decisions for you. I think
so. You think a small group of people in Frankfort should run everything then, correct?
No, I didn't say that. What I said was, I mean, you elect your elected officials to be your voice. So if you have concerns, I would definitely get with them. This is not a process where the map of Frankfort has been put up and darts have been thrown at it and picking locations. This was a pretty thorough process. And, you know, the size of the police department that we need won't work everywhere. And there's very few spots in the city of Frankfort that a department that is 25,000 square foot will actually fit. And there's been a lot of thought put into it, a lot of work put into it. And
well, they came down with four different places.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're spending millions of dollars on taxpayers' money, and I do say taxpayers' money.
I'm a taxpayer, too.
Okay. Then it needs to be put to a vote, just not just a small group of people saying we need this and we need that, and then, okay, it's true. But that's just my opinion. That's the way Frankfort's always been for 68 years. It seems like the small group of people has to say so because they're elected, but it needs to be voted on and let the majority of the people decide. And then you would come together, and I'll get off. You guys have a wonderful
day. All right, thanks, Carl.
Thank you.
All right.
But no, the process is going really well, Ken. We're right on track where we need to be. And once we get things narrowed down even more tighter, or more tight, I don't know what the best one is, but we will start engaging the community in because there's really not a whole lot to really show them yet in terms of what it could potentially look like. And, you know, a lot of these sites that we pick, they're not suitable. The studies that we did, they come back not good sites.
Right.
So, again, it's not just,
you know,
random picking a site. You know, there's been a lot of work involved in this.
The other thing about these sites, and I know the four spots you've been looking at. One of them I think you've discarded because of what's underneath it, pretty much.
Yes.
And the other one is just way, probably too much to build.
Yes.
So that's
and too expensive.
And that's what I meant, it's too expensive. So on the other two that are left, it's kind of the, you know, what's really available, and people need to, the caller sort of hit on it there. There's not that many sites available in this community.
Yeah.
And the community of the size.
If you want to keep it in a more central location, absolutely.
Right. Yeah, you know, I'm sure everybody says, well, you know, you could go out there on 28 out there at the Centurion building, you could do that. Everyone, that's where we kind of like to see, I think, something going on out there. That's probably a little bit too far out of the realm of really probability because you're out away from the city again.
Yes. We started this process really about 4 years ago talking about it, and one of the options was move out there. And after we engaged the community on where they would really like to see a police department, we listened to the community, and they wanted it more centralized and more downtown.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with that. I agree with that. It's just it presents more challenges of where it can actually go.
Mm-hmm. And you know, one of the problems you guys have had where you're at, and I know it's something you want to take care of, is you and your officers really don't have room to park or take care of your vehicles the way you want to. Right now.
Yeah, and they're not secure. I mean, anybody can walk through there and do something to one of our cars.
So. But I know that's been one of the issues that you want to kind of maybe help with that and maybe get a little more things taken care of that way. So.
Yep.
I'm going to go ahead and take a break right now. Our sponsors are Welty Custom Exteriors and Compass Credit Union, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, Sparrows Florist and Greenhouse, Milner Healthcare, Hardesty Landscaping, Ivy Tech Community College, Simple Time Antiques, and Clinton County Daily News.com. We'll be right back.
People ask a lot of questions about Ivy Tech Community College, like, can an Ivy Tech degree get me a good career?
Well, some say good, and some say great. In 2 years or less, you can earn an associate degree or certificate, qualifying you for some of Indiana's fastest-growing career fields and earning you an average of $37,777 the first year after graduation. Find your answers at ivytech.edu/FAQ. Then apply for free at ivytech.edu.
Our members often ask us, is this loan too small? The answer is probably not. From holiday loans to get through the Christmas season to braces, guitars, or even that big screen TV you've been wanting. Here at Encompass, we work with you on loans both big and small. So stop by or apply online today. Encompass Credit Union, community-minded just like you. Federally insured by NCUA, online at EncompassCU.org.
Don't leave your home in the dark. Add a beautiful sunroom by Welty's. With a Welty sunroom, you'll enjoy nature's beauty. Sunrises and sunsets mean more each day. Even the birds, squirrels, snowfall, or rain showers take on new beauty in the comfort of your home. Welty Custom Exteriors will help design your sunroom and build it for you. Improve the value of your home and add to the quality of your life with a beautiful sunroom from Welty's. Building all over North Central Indiana. Call 1-800-466-7231. That's 1-800-466-7231.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one resource for information as you need it right at your fingertips. We have news, weather, sports, obituaries, the WILO program schedule, over 40,000 community photos, online surveys, community events, and WILO TV archives. Plus, click on the info tab to find out how you can contact your local and state representatives. Find out what the buzz is all about. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com.
This is Party Line on WILO AM and FM. Phone lines are open. Locally call 659-3338 or call toll-free in Kokomo and Lafayette at 1-800-447-4463. Now, let's rejoin Party Line on 1570 AM and 96.9 FM WILO.
Welcome back to Party Line. Our sponsors are Welty Custom Exteriors, Encompass Credit Union, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, Sparrow's Florist and Greenhouse, Milner Healthcare, Hardesty Landscaping, Ivy Tech Community College, Simple Time Antiques, along with ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Our in-studio guest is Frankfort Police Chief Troy Bacon. Troy, you just recently started this. You're talking about you're going to be giving out addiction resource cards to potential overdose people or people who you thought might be in need of them. Talk a little bit about that and where you're at with that.
You know, I couldn't be happier with the partnership that we've had with Healthy Communities on this one. Since, you know, the opioid epidemic or problem, whatever you want to call it, started in about 2014, in our community meetings and in events that we had to engage the community, one thing I always thought would be a good idea would be to hand out a card to someone who was a victim of an overdose, or give it to a family member, or put it in their pocket. So, you know, when they get out of the hospital, or reach that point in their life that they're looking for resources for recovery, they can pull out this card and that they can look at and find those resources. And about 2 months ago, maybe a little bit longer, I can't recall, Laura Archbold with Healthy Communities approached me and said, hey, that card idea, we'd like to help you with that. And working with Healthy Communities, we've started printing off cards. And the cards, officers will start handing those out to overdose victims, family members who are on scene, or anybody that they come in contact with that will direct those people who are in need to Healthy Communities where they can get those recovery resources. You know, we've made several offers where people can come to the police station to get help and we would help them. We're not seeing that. It's not surprising. People, you know, are probably apprehensive to come to a police department and admit that you have an addiction problem. So I think Healthy Communities is one of those locations that people can come to that's neutral, that they can feel comfortable going to and discussing recovery.
The Overdose Awareness Day happened a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Are we getting better, you think? How are we staying about the same? Where are we at in your mind?
You know, I don't have the exact numbers. I brought other numbers, but I didn't bring overdose numbers. I would say with speaking to command staff and detectives, I think our overdose responses to which we're using Narcan are down quite a bit. That doesn't mean that the problem's gone away. It's shifted. We're seeing a lot of the people who were addicted to opioids and heroin are now moving to cocaine and going back to methamphetamines, which, you know, police chiefs predicted years ago that, you know, that this would happen. But there's other issues that we're tackling. But I think the overall overdoses for the opioids and are down.
What kind of a problem do we have with mental health? Because in my mind, mental health is a part of the situation we have with the opioids and some other things.
I think they're all connected. I've been to several seminars where, you know, there's always that debate. What is addiction? Is it a choice or is it a disease? I think that debate still goes on. But, you know, some of the research that I've read that, you know, taking drugs for an extended period of time does reprogram your brain. And I think when that reprograms, I think that can transition into some dependence or some sort of mental issue that you have that can develop. But mental illness is huge for us. A lot of we deal with it every day as police officers. We're trained to deal with it. And oftentimes crime and mental illness, drug abuse and mental illness do go hand in hand.
It seems like we're having a lot of, you know, and I hate to use the word impulse, but I'm going to use it in this case. A lot of crimes that seem like are kind of maybe start with one thing and kind of go, you know, like the other day we had this incident over with a kid from Battleground that went to Harrison, who's originally from Kokomo, you know, took a vehicle and basically had an accident over, I think, in Kokomo and wound up killing himself. You know, but they think it might have been a part of another, you know, thing that's part of going after a student or whatever. So I think you're seeing a lot more of that stuff kind of come out now as well.
It's our society right now. It's impulse driven. I mean, people, unfortunately, you know, if someone doesn't agree with them, they take immediate offense to it. They jump to social media or they pull out a gun or a baseball bat or whatever. And instead of just rationalizing, you know, it's okay that somebody has a different opinion than me, mm-hmm. and try to resolve it differently. We're just so knee-jerk right now. It's scary.
Yeah, I know it is. We got another caller here for you. Caller, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, I have a statement concerning the information that was just spoken. As far as the caller, the average citizen, taxpaying citizen, doesn't know what the police department knows, and we should have confidence in them in knowing where the place should be and the best place so that they keep us safe.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. So anybody's got to call wants to talk to Troy, 659-3338 is the number. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, going on with what we know, I did bring some statistics if you want to go through those we're at.
Let's go ahead and do that.
Okay. Traffic stops, when you look at, I usually hear people complain about traffic stops. That's the number one complaint that I get, and I'm glad we get traffic stop complaints because I would rather take a traffic stop complaint or a traffic issue, a stop sign violation, than homicide that's happened or something else. But when you look at traffic stops when compared with last year, we're up 1,031. So we're making a lot more traffic stops, engaging a lot more people. In terms of calls of service that were going on when compared with last year, that's down by a little over 700. The arrests that we're making are up about 40% when compared with last year, and drug arrests are up 38%. And the biggest increases in our drug arrests are those cocaine arrests, methamphetamine, and synthetic arrests. And people say, well, I don't understand. How arrests are up, but calls for service are down and crime's lower. How does that work? Well, because like I told the students today, officers aren't just going to all kinds of calls and being busy now. They have a little bit more time with the overall call volume to be down to focus on neighborhoods that are being affected by drug use. If a warrant comes down for a violent offender or someone we need to put back in jail, we go get them. So you have a little bit more time to do the better investigations, whether you're a detective or a road officer now. So last year our crime was down. I think we were the 23rd safest city or something like that, or 50, whatever. But we're lower than that this year. So that's a good thing, and a lot of that comes from the partnerships in our community. To have faith in us that we can solve crimes, have faith in us to call us and let us respond to it and deal with it.
I know one of the crimes that you were worried about was on property crimes. You wanted to make sure that was one of the things you wanted to reduce. Has that happened yet or not?
You know, we're doing pretty good. The only thing that really concerns me right now is that burglaries are up. So we're going to try to figure out where those are happening at. We have a system on our computer that is our tracks our call volume and where calls are at. And we can tell where those burglaries are. I would just say, you know, as much as I hate to say it, you know, we no longer live in the day where you can keep your door unlocked. You got to lock your door no matter where you're at in the city. Lock your doors, lock your windows so people just can't come in.
Yeah, that's true. But people still insist, oh, this is a small town. It won't happen here. And you can't do that anymore.
No. And another thing, a couple of years ago, you and I discussed the uptrend of assaults, people hitting people. That's down this year. So we're encouraged by that.
I heard something this morning, and I don't know if you've heard about this yet, or if you have, I want to get your opinion on it. They now have test strips available for fentanyl in drugs. Is that a good idea in your mind, or have you even heard about it yet? I just heard about it for the first time this morning.
You'll have to explain what you mean.
I guess what they have now is they have test strips that if you have drugs, and you're trying to see if something like fentanyl is in that drug, they have test strips that are now available supposedly to help see if there actually is some fentanyl in your drug that you really don't want or whatever.
That can be used by people with normal prescription or who have purchased drugs illegally.
Illegally. So, that's what I think it is. So.
You know, I just heard
that this morning. I'm kind of like,
I would much rather people not even buy the drug to begin with.
I agree.
I don't know. You know, it's a really tough situation for me as any police officer. We are bound by our oath of office to uphold the law, to enforce the law, to not have opinions on the law. Our job is to enforce it. And oftentimes we're asked what we think about questions like that. Mm-hmm. My response is I'd much rather people not even use it.
Right.
But if it's available and it'll save someone's life, then I guess it is what it is.
I've kind of noticed here in the last couple, 3 weeks, you've had a lot of the situation with runaways, missing people, juveniles doing this and that. Has that increased to you, or where are we sitting with that right now?
You know, I'd have to check. Probably what you're noticing is more social media and more broadcast on trying to find these kids. You know, when we investigate this and we realize there's really no leads where someone is, then we'll send that out on social media. We'll ask for people's help. Oh. And generally, we get a good response on that. And so that's really helpful for us. There's other cases that, you know, a parent will report their child missing, and we find the lead really quick, and we go solve the case, and it's over, and you never hear anything about it. But it's those cases that there's no leads is really what you're seeing.
Okay. How's your Citizens Police Academy coming?
It's still going. I had the opportunity last week to welcome our group. There's about 11 people, I think, signed up, which is a little bit lower than the normal. But Captain Jake Myers takes care of that and does a really good class. It'll lead us up into about, I think, November, late November.
Yeah, I think it is November.
And they'll have a graduation ceremony. But anyone who wants to know what their local police department does on a daily basis, why we do stuff, why we can't do stuff, what our procedures are, what our policies are, sign up for this class. You can't sign up now. The deadline's already passed. Right. But there will be another one next year. And it's an excellent opportunity to become informed with the truth.
You know, that's just—it's like we were talking about caste earlier. You know, if you don't get involved, and you don't get involved in these things, you don't really know what's going on. And you're taking all the word of social media, or people have been out and about doing whatever.
And we don't watch a bunch of videos and teach you that way. We bring in officers from our department, officers from other departments, prosecutors come in, judges come in and talk. So there's a whole gamut of people in the criminal justice system locally that come in and talk. So you get a firsthand account of what's really happening.
You got any big community events coming along that you need to talk about?
You know, I don't think so. I think we're doing really well. There'll be next month, I think around the 3rd, there will be another Coffee with a Cop, and that's going to be at McDonald's.
Okay.
And we'll start advertising that here pretty soon. But we're on the downward slide of the year at this point, and really our next big event is the Christmas parade coming up in December, and we'll be out and talking to people and shaking hands and blocking traffic and watching the floats go by.
Besides the police department, anything else that's still big on your calendar for the rest of the year?
No, but I will say this. Deputy Chief Shoemaker last year applied for a grant. It's a Burn JAGA grant to the Indiana criminal justice system, and he got that. It's a $3,200 grant, and what that's going to allow us to do is install a drug evidence hood down in our evidence processing area where officers can process and test evidence that they believe could contain drugs. And it's a HEPA filter system where they can operate in this hood, and if there's an exposure, it gets sucked up in the hood instead of the officer getting that exposure or going through the department. So that's going to be huge for us. That's a huge step forward in terms of protecting our officers.
And that's something, you know, that I know it's been one of the things you guys have wanted to do for a while and try to find more things like that to help you help protect yourselves a little bit better.
Yes, and thanks to Scott for doing that. And we'll be getting out some more information here pretty soon on a release, and you can find out more about it.
Okay. Anything else you want to talk about before I turn you loose?
Thanks for having me.
Thanks. It's always great to have you in here.
Thank you.
All right. That's going to do it for the show today. Our sponsors are Welty Custom Exteriors, Encompass Credit Union, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, Sparrow's Florist and Greenhouse, Milner Healthcare, Hardesty Landscaping, Ivy Tech Community College, Simple Time Antiques, along with Clinton County Daily News.com. Everybody have a great day. Take good care of yourselves, and we'll see you back here tomorrow. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Party Line on 1570 AM and 96.9 FM WILO. Join us again tomorrow morning at 8:30 for our live broadcast, then again at 5 p.m. for the Party Line replay. Party Line is a presentation of Casper Media, keeping you connected for over 60 years. Nobody talks more about Clinton County than WILO.